So great to see every one of you. And if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. I'd like to actually share just a little bit from my heart this morning, as opposed to a normal message. But I think some of the things that God has dealt with me on and brought me through could be of blessing and benefit to you, and so I feel to share them with you this morning. But I would like to speak on the thought of, in my life, be glorified. In my life, be glorified. Sharing from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 35 and 36, the account of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was betrayed into the hands of sinners and crucified. Reading verse 35, the Bible says, "Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.'" Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be upon this time of sharing this morning. Father, once again, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise for your Spirit and your presence in this place today. Lord, you have been in our lives in such a wonderful way, and we thank you so much for this. We thank you for your word and how your word gives grace and strength and encouragement through the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, God, through your Spirit and through your word, I pray that you would speak to us all this morning. Help us, God, Lord Jesus, to be comforted in our afflictions, but also, Lord Jesus, to be comforted to know when we're in your will. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Now let me begin by saying our church and the mission of this church is about Jesus. And we're going to glorify Jesus. And I may be sick, but this church isn't about my sickness. Amen. And I'm not going to focus on it in my life. In fact, I'd like to go a day where I don't even hear the word cancer. And those days are coming. Amen. Where we can focus on Jesus, on what God is doing in our lives. It's God's problem. We put it into His hands, and we're just going to move forward. Amen? Amen. And my ministry is about the Lord Jesus Christ and not about what I may or may not be going through. And so regarding my current illness, it's something that we should be aware of. It's something I covet your prayers. And let me tell you, when I say that, I'm not just saying that as a platitude. God has heard your prayers and God has answered prayers. And so when I ask you to pray this week and pray that that chemo that does more than it's expected to do, I know that I'm not just asking a vain thing or a polite thing to do, because this is Christians and this is what we're supposed to do. I know there's power in prayer. And I have faith in your prayers, not so much in who you are as people, although you're wonderful, blessed people, but in whom you are praying to, the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray for me, and I will be praying for you as well, in the name of Jesus. But having said that, as we go through things, and as I have gone through this illness, there are things that I have learned. There are things that God has dealt with me about. There are things that God has spoken to me about. There are things that God has grown in my life. And I feel that there will be times that I should share what God has taught me or what God has dealt with me about for you. Because it's not just about me. It's about all of us together. Amen? Amen. And God wants us all to grow in His grace, wisdom, and truth. And I've learned several things. In the short time since finding out I have had cancer, I've I've learned to have greater patience. I'm not saying I'm a man of patience. I need to grow in that area. But I've learned to allow God to help my patience to grow. I have a greater understanding what it means to live day by day, not to worry about 10 months from now, 6 months from now. Just take a day at a time the way God wants us to live. I've had some awesome encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ during this period. I have a greater understanding. Not perfect, it needs to grow, but I have a greater understanding of what all sufficient grace is, the kind that the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for you. But what I'd like to share with you today is how God dealt with my heart and some things that God needed to deal with my heart when I found out that I had cancer. And so I'd like to take you back to the very beginning, to those first days that I found that I had a mass. I didn't know at this point that the cancer had spread to my liver. I didn't even know if it was malignant or not. I just knew I had a mass, and it was most likely malignant, but it might not be. And so I'd like to take you back to that time and just share with you what some of the things that God brought me through. During this time, I have received just an incredible amount of support from all kinds of people everywhere. I've received so much from you, and I thank you for your love and your prayers. It has just been such a blessing and encouragement. My family has just been wonderful. It's been I've heard from a cousin I haven't heard from in years, and that just, you know, just touched me in a great way, and so forth and so on. Wonderful things. Wonderful words of encouragement. Things that have helped keep me centered and hopeful and encouraged. But the thing that I have and received, the thing that I needed the most and have received, is a message from God, or the Spirit of God speaking to my heart. That's the most important thing that needs to happen when a person goes through difficulty or crisis. You can, and it's good to hear from different people. And I encourage you, you know, when, and you don't have to, don't worry about what to say. Just tell. All you have to do when someone has a tragedy is just let them know that you love them, you care about them, you're praying for them, and that's all they need to hear. And let me tell you, from personal experience, that is more than enough. And it is great. And all those things are wonderful. But in moments of crisis, the most important person you can hear from and is needful is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share with you how God spoke to me and how God ministered to me at this time. And as I mentioned, I'm taking you back to the very beginning. And as I sat there in the doctor's office, and I had a funny feeling I was going to receive bad news. I'd been with people enough in hospitals and things to know, you know, the expression on their faces and whatnot, that something unpleasant was coming. And my initial reaction when he said there was a mass and it was probably cancerous was as rock solid of faith as you could possibly have. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind that this was probably nothing, and if it was something, it'd be something that'd be taken care of easily and be no problem. I would be fit as a fiddle in no time. There were great and tremendous and powerful scriptures that came to mind. One someone shared with me, but one I know very well, and one that is a blessing, Psalm 91, 15 and 16. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And then I thought also of Psalm 118, verse 17. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. And let me tell you, I was no more full of faith than I was that when I initially heard the news that there possibly was this cancerous mass. This is even before I knew it had spread. I knew everything was going to be fine, that this was nothing, everything was going to be okay, and I was going to go through this quickly. And this lasted, this high, this rock assurance lasted for all of maybe 24 hours. And then the reality of what might happen or what I might possibly be dealing with began to set in. Now, Scripture speaks about how there is a sickness unto death. In fact, this is alluded to by the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples when the disciples and Jesus heard that Lazarus was terminally ill. And when the disciples heard about this and brought word of this to Jesus, Jesus said this was not a sickness unto death. Now, there is sickness in the world today. It's a consequence of our fallen nature. You know, it's just part of the world, and someday sickness will be gone, but not today. And God heals from sickness, and I know there are many testimonies of that that are here in this room, but sickness is also a path to the next stage of our existence or the next stage of our lives. It's a path to eternity. And as I began to think about the diagnosis, let me tell you, one of the worst things you can do is go on the internet and read about your sickness. That'll destroy your faith faster than anything. And it's not always accurate either, I have found. Let me tell you. I read some things about my condition that are not true. But I began to feel the need to open up my heart to the possibility that I may have terminal cancer, that this might be my time. Now, I believe in faith. I believe in prayer. I believe in divine healing. But there is a reality of life, and that is that everyone will die. And when it's our time, and the Bible says our time, our times are in His hands. When it's our time, you can have all the faith in the world. You can have faith to move mountains, but when it's your time, it's your time. And nothing's going to change that because it is the will of God. And so I began to wrestle with, is this my time? Is my time on earth done, finished, or is this just a period of trial and difficulty that the Lord is going to bring me through? And it affected me to the point where God began to deal with me regarding my prayer life. And as I mentioned before, the thing that has brought me through every difficulty that I have faced, whether it's a personal difficulty or whether it's a difficulty within the body of Christ, you know, as pastor, is that of prayer. Being able to take my need to the Lord and know that God is in control and that God can do far beyond what I can do and that God was going to bring His will to pass and that everything was going to be okay. And in thinking about my condition and what possibly could be happening, I began to wonder, now how am I supposed to pray? Because if this is my final call, then I really shouldn't be focusing my time on praying or demanding that God heal me. Now, it's not saying I hadn't been doing that. Even before I had cancer, I knew I had back problems, and I was praying the Lord heal me. And asking people to pray for God to heal me, and I still am praying for God to heal me, but if we want to pray, and we want our prayers to be heard by God, and we want our prayers to be answered, and we want to pray with confidence, and we want to know that when we pray, we've touched the heart of God and our prayer is going to be answered, then we must be people who pray solely according to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. John brings this out in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Talking about having that expectation that his prayer was going to be answered. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. What is critical for you and for me to be able to pray with confidence, knowing that our prayer is not just heard, but our prayer will be answered. It's when we are praying in accordance with the will of God. And I know there are people who are sitting there saying, well, Brother Randy, the Bible says we pray that we'll be healed. Yes, unless this was a sickness unto death. And if I was to pray that, and I could pray that, if it wasn't God's will, it would not come to pass. So I was at a quandary, because I take prayer very personally, and when I pray, I want to be sure that I'm praying in a humble and a submissive fashion, which means I'm praying according to the will of God. I, to be honest, I wasn't sure how to pray. Could I pray for healing? But how should I pray if this was not going to happen, if this was my time? And it came down to the fact that there was within me, understandably so, a reluctance to embrace that my time on earth may be over now. And it might be my time to move on to heaven. And so I began to do a little soul searching as I was praying. And just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, I began to look at my heart. And I saw that my difficulty was what Jesus did not have difficulty doing. And in this prayer, as Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that what he was facing was going to be an unpleasant. But he did not have difficulty, despite its unpleasantness, in saying yes to what God's will was. If there be any other way, let it happen. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I was having difficulty to saying yes to what God's will, no matter what it was. I was not having difficulty with God healing me. But I was having difficulty with, Randy, it is your time. You're going to be with the Lord. And so I began to look at the reasons and to bring them before God. Why, you know, I didn't want to be open to, and I'm not saying this is not my final farewell sermon, and I'll share with you, we'll go on. This is not a sermon of sadness or death, but of hope and life. But I began to bring to God the reasons that I did not want to leave this world, the reasons I didn't want to be sick, and some of the reasons as I saw them, and perhaps you too, were very noble reasons. Very selfless reasons. I am, as many if not all of you know, I'm 44 years old. Now, before this, I thought that, man, I'm getting old. But looking at in the light of my mortality, I'm actually kind of young. And although my children are older, I still have a very young family. I have a wife. Responsible for them. And husbands, we are responsible. He provides he who does not provide for his own, the Bible says, is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. It's my responsibility to provide financially. And if I was to leave, how would this affect them? Not only as far as finances, how would it affect them emotionally? How would it affect them mentally? How would it affect them spiritually? You know, we're great and full of faith when God answers prayer the way that we want, but when things don't go the way that we want, sometimes it can have an adverse effect upon our faith. Kids need their father. And I'm under the impression that my wife needs me, maybe not as much as I need her. But the Bible is clear when it talks about the solemnness and the importance of the marriage relationship. Two, become one. How can half a person live? Thought about how difficult it would be on them. I thought about my mom. And how it's sad whenever any parent outlives their children. I thought about you, the church. Not that you couldn't get another pastor, and let me tell you, there are plenty of fine pastors, and you could probably get someone head and shoulders above where I'm at, bringing you to new places of blessing. But our little church has been through a lot this past 5-7 years. And God has been gracious. But I know it would be tough on a lot of you to go through the loss of another pastor under tragic circumstances. I don't want to see that happen. There were other reasons as well that I brought to the Lord. These as well were noble, but maybe not quite as selfless. Now, saying this, the one thing that I do not fear death itself. As I mentioned before, communion. Death is an enemy, it's a horrible thing, but the sting of death has been removed through Calvary. So as far as dying, that it's like that old Southern gospel song. I think it's entitled "Death Ain't No Big Deal." Is that what it's called, Roseanne? Yeah. And to the believer, it isn't. It's a graduation. It's a promotion to glory. Now, we can't do it, but I bet. I shouldn't say that. But when we get to heaven, everyone we ask, who's up in heaven in the presence of Jesus, if we were to ask them right now, you want to come back or you want to stay there? I don't think there'd be one person and say, well, yeah, I think this is nice, but I think I'd rather go back to. It's glorious. It's splendid. I do not fear it. But I'm also not ready to die for noble yet somewhat selfish reasons. I don't want to miss my children growing up. My son getting ready to graduate high school. My daughter just going into her teenage years. I want to see them grow up. I'd like to see them get married. I want to walk my daughter down the aisle. I want to see grandchildren. I want to enjoy the golden years with my wife, growing old gracefully together. Not frivolous things in life, but things that are important to me now, for right or for wrong. And all these things were normal. They were all good, and in some instances, they were even selfless. But they weren't the reasons that really I should have been basing on my willingness to accept whatever God had in store for me, or has in store for me, in this illness. Because there was one very important person that I was leaving out regarding the deliberations of this illness and what possibly could happen. I was thinking about my family. I was thinking about the church. I was thinking about myself, but I wasn't thinking about Jesus and what God's will was regarding my life. No consideration that in going through this, there might be a higher purpose, a higher calling that far superseded my own needs or the needs of others. In fact, we see consistently throughout Scripture that God is often glorified as people go through times of difficulty. Several scriptures, and I'm going to refer to them as we progress through the message. We have in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, a man who is blind from birth, a man who went many, many years without being able to see. Scripture says regarding this man, as he went along, speaking of Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus responded, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." He was traveling down a dark road. And if he could have had it any other way, that road would have been a road of sight. One that he could have seen for those many years. I don't know, let's say he's 30 years old. 30 years. Never being able to see. Having someone lead you from here and there, helping you to get dressed and to get bathed and to do just the necessities, to eat. Having to beg. No welfare state back then. Having to beg for a living. "Oh, would you please, just a few coins so that I can eat today." There was a godly purpose in that. God was glorified in this man going through this period of difficulty. John chapter 11, verse 4, I alluded to it earlier. The account of Lazarus. Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. Jesus responded, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Lazarus not only went through a period of sickness, he ended up dying. Yet in the time that it took for Jesus to get there and to minister, not just healing, but his resurrection power, more people became aware. The circumstances, the situation got more desperate and impossible. And that horrible path of sickness that Lazarus had to go through and Mary and Martha had to go through with him was not without purpose, because it brought about a great time of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ being glorified. And it was these scriptures, as I prayed before God, and God, I don't even know how to pray, that God began to speak to my heart and remind me of these instances. This man who had been blind from birth and from Lazarus. Because not only was it, did I have trouble in just praying my will, "God heal me," and I'm not open to any other recourse from that, but I also was not open, and I felt this in a spiritual sense, where will God just take me? Just make it as quick and painless as possible. I didn't feel that was the appropriate prayer as well, a prayer of surrender, and giving up. But in all this, the opening up of my heart before God, the Spirit of God dealing with me, the Lord then showed me how I was to pray then and how I'm continuing to pray today regarding this situation and every other situation that I will face, both as an individual, but as also a husband, father, and a pastor. In praying, Lord, whatever path you have for me, be glorified in the holy name of Jesus. I don't know what's in store ahead for me. I wasn't sure as I walked the aisles of this church and I was pouring out my heart before God what was going to happen. I didn't even know at this point the cancer had spread. But I knew how I was going to pray and how I could pray with confidence. God, in my life, be glorified no matter what. No matter what. Let me tell you, those scriptures ministered to me. Number one, going back to the account in John chapter 9, when that man was, the blind man, his situation was brought before the disciples. Disciples jumped to a conclusion that many of us jump to when unpleasant circumstances come into our lives. Well, they must have sinned. Jesus, who sinned? Did this man sin? Is that why he's blind? Or did his parents sin? And I hope people don't jump to that conclusion on anyone. I'm just talking about myself. But often we do that ourselves when some sickness or tragedy. What did I do wrong? Let me tell you, I did a lot of soul searching and repenting. Things I didn't even know if I was guilty of. But let me tell you, when I heard those words, and the Spirit of the Lord reminded me of these accounts in Scripture, it's not a matter of I'm a sinner and God is just punishing me for my sin. Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace. Bless God. But somehow, in these events in my life, God is going to be glorified. That's the purpose. You know, as I began to pray that, great relief and peace came into my heart where I was okay. I was very fearful about what possibly could happen. But the moment I began to pray, not according to my will, but according to the will of God, and then God, I wasn't telling God what to do, either heal me or not heal me. And God, heal me in the name of Jesus. I still ask God to heal me. Jesus asked for the cup to be passed for him. That's not wrong. But there was a great relief in my heart and in my spirit. And I was at peace. And I knew that I was going to get through this. We're all going to get through this. Because I was praying. I was pleasing God. I was praying according to His will. And I also had a confidence and a peace. Because when I just gave in and surrendered to the will of God, no matter what it might be. Because I knew that no matter what happens, no matter where I go, Jesus is going to be with me. And when I mean with me in a tangible way. You know, in a spiritual, just like I'm with my brother here, holding my hand, since I'm not off believing and trusting my own thing, I'm where in my heart where God wants me to be, I know God is going to be with me. And He has been with me. I'm not saying I haven't had some rough days, but I don't want to get into all that. We all have our moments. But the abiding presence of God has just been so wonderful. Now, and I'd like to ask Bill and Christine if you would return. At the end of my time of prayer, the Lord ministered to me one more scripture that I'd like to share with you because I think it's very important. Because God wanted me to know, and He wants all of us to know, that He is a good and a kind and a loving God. And it's not just a matter of Him up in heaven, arms crossed with a stern expression, but we're His pawns and He can do with us what He wants, and we don't have a say or we don't have any consideration. That's not the case at all. There was one more scripture that God spoke to my heart that I'd like to share with you. I'm sorry, I'm not a weepy person. So remember this, because you're not going to see this too often. That just really spoke to my heart. We'll edit that out of the tape. From Psalm 30, you know it, I'm sure you do. From Psalm 37, verse 4, the Lord says, said to my heart, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm very confident this morning, and these aren't tears of sorrow. Believe you and me, they're not. Tears of joy. How good and how awesome Jesus Christ is. And thank you for just allowing me to share my heart with you this morning. But I have a feeling that I'm going to be around for a while. And the reason is not because of me. Just some kind of hopeful optimism. But because in the night, God gave me a scripture. He says He knows what my heart's desire is. The right ones and the wrong ones. He's going to honor that in the name of Jesus if I honor Him. And I share this with you today, not because I'm no better than anyone who's here today. We're all the same. This is a level playing field that we're on. Amen. As brothers and sisters in Jesus, some of you have gone through some terrible things, some horrible things in life and whatnot. And you can, I'm sure, teach me some different things. But I share this with you, not to puff myself up at all. If I was to do that, then, God forgive me. I would need to repent. But every one of us is going to have a dark road that we're going to have to walk through at some point in our lives. I'm not saying it's terminal illness. Could be something else, but it's something that we might wrestle with, but we don't want to say yes. Psalm 23 puts it this way. It calls that path, at least that portion of the path of our lives, the valley of the shadow of death. If we could do something else, let's do that, but not there, anything but there. And so we go kicking and screaming, because a lot of times, I could say I don't want to have cancer, but that isn't going to change it. It's going to be here as long as God wills, until God takes it away, in Jesus' name. But we can go kicking or screaming, or we can embrace whatever God's will is, and therefore be that individual God can use to bring glory and honor to His name. I know there is a higher purpose to what I'm going to be going through, however long I'm going to go through this, and that God is going to be glorified. But if I went through pouting and kicking and screaming, much good would come out of it. As long as I embrace it, go forward holding tightly the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know everything is going to be okay. And the Lord is going to be glorified. In Jesus' name. I'd like us just to bow our hearts, close our eyes this morning. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. In fact, I'm just going to ask if you'd stand this morning. And I'm just going to pray a brief prayer that I'd like us all to share in our hearts. And we're just going to pray briefly that no matter what, our lives are going to be about God being glorified in the holy, wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's not that God doesn't care about you. Whatever you have to go through in life, God will be there with you and give you more than you need in the name of Jesus. And you'll be declaring His praises more so on the other side than you were going in Jesus' name. And God knows all about your needs. He knows all about your situation, your family, and He will take care of that as well. In the holy, wonderful name of Jesus. We just need to be willing. When that path of righteousness is the valley of the shadow of death, to say, God, in my life, if that's my path for this time, for this season, be glorified. Be glorified. And you know, as you pray that, you're going to sense the presence of God on you as you walk through that valley, as though you are walking through the brightest, sunniest mountaintop that there is. In the name of Jesus.